My name is Michael McAdams. I'm the president of the Advanced Biofuels Association, which is a 501c6 trade association here in Washington, D.C., that represents people that produce biofuels, distribute biofuels, and are in the biofuels sector.
The point of the call today is to inquire about your challenge of the EPA's waivers of the RFS. Tell me about that.
Yes, sir. We filed a lawsuit on Tuesday with the appellate court here in Washington, D.C., challenging EPA's application of the exemption thresholds, granting these exemptions for small refineries under the Renewable Fuel Standard.
The administrator told us that the waivers are not subjective, they are objective. So, what do you say to that? How do you respond?
I have a different view, and I think that's misleading. We've had for since the program began in 2010, we've seen somewhere between 8 and 11 waivers granted, and he acknowledged in front of the House Energy and Commerce Committee last Thursday that he granted 25 for 2016, which is roughly 2 to 3 times what we've ever seen in the past. He also confirmed to a question from Congressman Green of Texas that they had at least 30 pending for 2017. So something's changed relative to the way these waivers were granted in the past. And what we think he has specifically instructed the staff at EPA to do is lower the thresholds so that you could have more people found to have a disproportionate economic hardship.
Okay, so what's the goal of the petition?
So our petition is to challenge EPA's application of the criteria and the manner in which they have made these decisions and their ability to expand or lower the bar from what has been applied in the past.
Could I have you
We
hold
do
on?
not we do not disagree that the law allows for exemptions to be granted for disproportionate economic hardship. That's not what we're arguing at all. We're simply going to argue that this process was completely non-transparent. We don't know who got them, when they got them, and how the criteria was applied to grant them. But what we do know through public accounts, and now we're beginning to see them in for profitability like HollyFrontier today, where they acknowledge that the one that they got for 15 and 16 was worth $72 million towards the $132 million quarterly profit that they made. So there's something that's changed in the way EPA is applying the threshold in order to grant people that are clearly not in economic harm that had not been being done in the past. And we want to know what happened, how it was done, what decisions were made, because as the Sinclair case acknowledges that this has to be done on a case-by-case basis. And so there's a set of metrics that get applied here, and we want to see how those metrics are being applied, none of which is transparent now. And when we submitted our petition to the court, we submitted it with a letter from 13 senators across the Midwest who have asked him for the same information. We've also filed a Freedom of Information request, as of other associations in the renewable sector. We welcome other associations in the renewable sector to join this case, either file their own and have it collaborated, or do an intervening brief. But something's changed here, and there's no transparency on how it changed and how it's been applied.
What outcome are you hoping for? Are you hoping for a cease and desist? What would you hope to happen?
Well, we're doing this. There's at least three ways to look at this. Okay, the first thing I would say is that we recognize the law grants the agency the ability to give exemptions. We're not challenging that. It's in the law. What we think has occurred here is there's been a change in the threshold applications of, you know, demonstrably disproportionate economic hardship in the way they're doing those calculations. And because none of this is transparent, because they're trying to hide all this under a CBI, confidential business information heading, we don't know who got them. We don't know when they got them. We don't know how they got them. And we don't know how EPA applied the criteria, because it's clearly they've applied something different than they did in the past, because they're giving these waivers now to much larger refinery companies that in the past were never able to clear the bar on getting these. And what we want to try to do here is to protect the integrity of the RFS writ large, and what has happened as a practical effect of what Mr. Pruitt has specifically orchestrated here is by taking people and giving them exemptions retroactively for 2016 and 2017, what he's doing is he's allowing those RINs that were created to come forward under the carryover provisions into 17 and 18. And it's removing the because you have, you know, more carryover from the past years. You don't have to blend as much. So he's, you know, the blending. I believe the Secretary of Agriculture penned it added about 1.6 billion gallons from the current RVOs. So while he's trying to set an RVO prospectively, the whole time he's undercutting the RVO he's setting by undermining the program by giving the exemptions to people that in the past were forced to comply with the program. One of the reasons we filed this lawsuit is because we, you know, the consumers have already paid the price for the RIN and their fuel. And so after the fact, retroactively, if you give these exemptions to these larger refinery companies that didn't get them in the past, you're basically, the consumers are paying for it. You're removing the incentive to blend the fuels in the future. So now you're having more pollution in the environment as a result of not putting the renewable fuels in the fuel. And the people that comply, the other refiners who comply, are at a net disadvantage to these guys that you're letting off the hook. And that's just not fair and equitable to punish the people that comply and take money out of their pocket for the investments they made and give it to people like Carl Icahn, who, you know, in Oklahoma and know Scott Pruitt.